Ow.
Can you hear it?
All right. Good morning. My name is Johnny. Welcome to the Unity Center for Positive Living. We're glad you could join us this morning. Especially if this is your first time. And now I'd like to catch my breath. And then I'll read to you for the daily word. And we've got this wonderful reminder that's always up here. It says, breathe. Okay. Just a little bit of a rush to get everything going here, so excuse me for being late and being out of breath. Welcome. Today is Sunday, January 5th, and right here it says, relax. So another reminder for me, breathe and relax, Johnny. I give my mind and body permission to rest and relax. For many, we're coming and going, and while they, and they start again. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. While these words of scripture were written long ago, they accurately describe the frantic, swarming pace of life so many people find themselves experiencing today. The invitation from Jesus to visit a deserted place of rest speaks directly to my soul. While I may not be by an ocean shore or on a forested mountaintop, I can go to a deserted place that is always available to me. At first, dedication and practice are needed to journey inward and find my way to silent peace. I learn to stop and give my mind and body permission to relax. I come to know relaxation is worthy of my time, vital for my self-care, and essential for my personal and spiritual growth. And from the Bible, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And that's Psalm 23:2. Okay, and now, if everyone would please remain seated while Joyce plays Shirley the Presence. I mean, would you like a microphone? Here. Close, so close for you. And like Susan Kudus always says, we're going to do this twice. Once, to sing it out, and then she always said, close your eyes the second time and sing it inside to yourself. So I always try to remember that.
Thank you.
blessing, see what God has done.
Let's greet your neighbor.
Shake, greet, right greet.
Bring it in.
Hey. Good morning.
I miss it when you're not down at your table.
Good morning. How are you doing?
That's Joanne making fun of my hair.
I thought it was sad.
Happy New Year.
Such a beautiful place.
Did they get everybody? Nope, they get your hat.
We'll be trying to copy them. They keep coming out one quarter.
Good morning. It's so good to see you.
Happy New Year. Happy New
Year.
Activities are located on the calendar hanging up in the hallway downstairs. Any other news? Next week, Gail?
Yes, next week is our annual meeting, and we'll be voting for some new officers. I mean, no, we don't do the officers, we do the board members. The board does who gets to do what in the officer department. And what else?
Did anybody hear we're supposed to have a snowstorm?
We're doing voting for the outreach.
Oh, yeah. Right. The order in which we do the percentages in the outreach. Yeah.
So we, because Robin called me this morning about coming. She's going to come.
Oh, okay.
But she said, what about the snowstorm they're expecting?
Ooh, we better plan for that.
Here?
Yeah. So we just need to kind of get a phone tree kind of thing going. So let's figure out a phone tree.
Yeah, you're looking for the prayer.
To call who, just in case. All righty. Any other announcements? Should we take the tree down today or next Sunday?
Next Sunday.
Okay. I want to see you all here helping
Never.
To take it down.
Never.
Yeah, I'd like to leave it up all the time. Alrighty, where are we? Unity statement time. Please join me in the unity statement in your program. We'll say it together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love.
We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God.
And what number is this?
345.
And keep Hildy in your prayers. I was supposed to pick her up this morning, and she was very upset because she couldn't sleep all night and she's very disoriented. So I'll stop and see her after church. Right, 345.
I am so happy, perpetually happy. Oh, I am so happy and free. Summer time, winter time, springtime, and autumn. Yes, I am so happy and free. Inside me, outside me, around and about me. Oh, I am so happy and free.
Silent Unity, a worldwide prayer ministry, and was a member of the Board of Trustees and the first Vice President of Unity School. In 1984, Freeman retired from his position in order to devote more time to his writing. And one of the things he wrote is right over there, prayer for protection. His prayer for protection was taken aboard Apollo 11 in July 1969 by Lunar Module pilot Buzz Aldrin. I didn't know that. And his poem, I Am There, which is probably his best known work, was featured in 1995 on the television program Angels 2 Beyond the Light. It was also taken to the moon by Colonel James Irwin on Apollo 15 in 1971. And Irwin left a microfilm of the copy of the poem on the moon. I thought that was interesting. Okay, back in the late 1800s, the group, it wasn't known as Unity then, formed with a lot of things. Among other things they had was a magazine, and it was called Modern Thought, to start with. And then it was changed to Thought. But the name was not an index to the principles for which the paper advocated. And we were in consequence inundated by communications of a nature we did not care to publish, and were constantly obliged to explain our exact place in the great maelstrom of modern thought. In the spring of 1891, would be Charles and his wife Myrtle and a few of students met together one evening to pray. As they were sitting in the silence, suddenly into the mind of Charles Fillmore flashed the name Unity. At that moment, he had not even been thinking about the name, and when it came to him, it startled him. "That's it," he cried. "Unity," he told the others, "Unity, that's the name of our work, the name we've been looking for." Later, he told friends, the name came right out of the ether, just as the voice of Jesus was heard by Paul in the heavens. No one else heard it, but it was as clear to me as though someone had spoken to me. Then and there, the name Unity was adopted. It was an apt and fortunate choice. The Fillmores have borrowed the best from all the religions, where the churches had put the emphasis on controversial doctrinal points that had caused division after division in the Christian world. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore were to put their emphasis on the things that are practical, the things that apply to everyday thinking and living. They were not to found a new religion, but were to work within the framework of existing religions and appeal to church members without causing them to divorce themselves from their church. That's quite a statement. They were profound to a teaching that people of all faiths should study and apply to their lives. They were to be a force for unity in the world. The movement that Charles and Myrtle Fillmore had founded was to live and grow under the name Unity.
Wow. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. I like the nice. Like Buddhism. It's not a religion, it's a way of life that any religion can follow.
Yay,
us. Okay, let's do our meditation song. Remain seated. 357.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from error. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Referred him to other specialists, and there was no evidence of snakes living in his belly, and this man was just convinced that there were snakes living in his belly. So the doctor was like, I know what I'll do. I'll perform a surgery on him. I'll cut an incision. I'll tell him I took the snakes out, and then this will be over. This guy won't keep bothering me. So the doctor talks to the patient, convinces the patient to have the surgery. The doctor cuts an incision in the guy's belly, and now they're in the hospital, and the patient is coming out of the surgery in recovery, and the doctor is feeling pretty smug, and he says, so, how are you feeling? Did we do a good job in there, or what? And the patient says, well, doc, I feel amazing. In fact, I feel so good, I think you probably got half those snakes out of my belly. So we know that what we believe is powerful, very powerful. And we're going to be kicking off 2020 by talking about the 12 powers. We're going to start today with the power of faith. And before we get into talking about faith itself, we're going to talk a little bit about the powers. So first of all, has anyone ever wondered why 12? Why not?
Ten number.
Well, because of the apostles. Why not 47? Why not
10?
Why not 3?
12 months.
There's 12 months. Where else does the number 12 appear in our culture?
Clocks.
Clocks, yep. There's 12 hours in on the clock face.
Months,
12 months of the year.
12 men, the ox.
Oh, the 12 man. I was going to mention the Seahawks. Yep, Tom's got it right for sure. We can pretend it's for the Seahawks, but we really know what it is. And in the Bible, someone already mentioned the 12 apostles. The Bible actually mentions the number 12 193 times.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. And some of the mentions in the Bible, let's see if I can figure out how to do this. Some of the mentions in the Bible of the number 12 include the 12 sons of Israel, so the 12 tribes, the 12 Hebrew tribes in the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament. Jesus, when he got left behind by his family and he was found in the temple conversing with the elders, was said to be age 12. The woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was healed from her hemorrhaging, had been sick for 12 years. There were the 12 disciples. We have heard that story of Jesus feeding the multitudes with the loaves and the fishes, and afterwards there were said to be 12 baskets of food picked up afterwards. And the book of Revelation has the number 12 in a lot of its symbology: stars, kinds of fruit, angels, pillars, and so forth. So we know that the number 12 is significant. And I think many people here are aware that in Unity, we don't take the Bible literally as a historical record of what happened. We don't believe that someone was writing things down as they were occurring. Now, the things in the Bible may have occurred the way they were written, and maybe they haven't, but we look for a deeper meaning. We look at the metaphysical meaning. We look at the symbolism, and we look at each person in the stories and each place and each item and say, what does this mean to me? Who is this representing in my life? What part of my being is this representing? And so metaphysically, I found this really interesting when I started doing research for this year. The number 12 is a number of spiritual completion or spiritual wholeness. And the explanation for how it got there is that 12 is 3 multiplied by 4, and that 3 refers to what we call the Trinity in Unity: spirit, soul, and body, or mind, idea, and expression. And that 4 stands for a foundation. So we have this idea of Trinity multiplied by foundation, and it gives us this number 12, spiritual completion or spiritual wholeness. Now, many writers, I'm so grateful that Jerry read today from that wonderful book, The Story of Unity. I love that book. And I love that he read about the early start of the Unity movement, because Charles Fillmore was not the first or the only person to come up with a 12 powers scheme. But Charles came up with his based on his discernment and his study, looking at the experience described in the Gospels where Jesus called the 12 disciples to him as a representation of our Christ nature and the 12 powers or abilities that are available to us at all times. So this year we're going to be going through the 12 powers. One of the handouts I have for you, and I know we may not have had enough copies. I have one more here if someone didn't get this grid copy. There you go, Joanne. So it lists out the, and I think Johnny can provide, Johnny, can you provide more later after the service if other people, yeah, so if you didn't get a copy of the handout, please connect with Johnny later if you want one. The grid lists out the different powers. There has been a lot of work done on the 12 powers in Unity. They are often aligned with colors, with months of the year, with parts in the body, with different disciples. There's actually a really nice outline aligning them with holy women in the Bible that we'll talk about a little bit. And there's some denials and affirmations affiliated with each one. So my apologies that the print is so small on this grid. I was trying to squish it all into 2 pages. So there it is. And we're going to be focusing, like I said, on the power of faith today. Before we get into faith, I want to say also that part of what we believe in Unity, we have our first principle that God is all good, everywhere, present, and our second principle that we are divine, that this divine presence lives in each of us, not just people in this room, not just people who attend Unity, but in every living sentient being. And so the 12 powers, these attributes that we envision of the divine, are in us as well. So we are always expressing faith. We are always expressing strength. Now, we may not know it, or we may not express it consciously, and we'll look at some examples from the Bible today to see how these can be expressed in different ways. The other handout that I provided was this one with kind of the little person on the front of it. Joanne, did you get this one? So the power of faith is described as our ability to perceive the reality of God's kingdom of good and divine ideas despite evidence to the contrary, and then use this to mold and shape substance. also the ability to believe, spiritually intuit, perceive, hear, and have conviction, and the power of perception, conviction, and expectancy. And because I gave my handouts away, there's that wonderful quote from Hebrews. It's on your handout. Would someone be willing to read that out loud for us, please? Thank you, Joanne.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Thank you. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So we know that faith is a reflection of our first principle, the idea that God is in everywhere, in everyone, in everything. Faith is our ability to affirm the divine is present in this, even if it looks ugly on the outside, even if it looks confusing on the outside. I know the divine is here. I choose to see divinity in this situation. I choose to see divinity in myself. I choose to see divinity in that person that I may not always get along with or agree with. That is the power of faith. And the power of faith is one of the foundations of the other principles. So it's really the starting point. And we have an affirmation that I would love for us to say together. It's also on your handout, and it's up here on the screen. So please go ahead and affirm this with me. I am faith. I release any ideas of separation from my source. I am filled with faith. I know that Christ's presence in me blesses me in all I do. I am faith. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So we know that Charles Fillmore lined up each of the 12 powers with the 12 disciples. And why is Peter significant? Does anyone know anything about Peter? What do you know about Peter from the Bible?
He's the one that denied knowing Christ.
He's the one that denied knowing who Jesus was, yep.
And Grace said, I will deal with Mike. Third
one, yeah. Jesus called Peter his rock. I will build my church on you. Anything else? Sometimes it's hard to remember and keep them all straight, all 12 of those guys. Peter was the one who was called first. And this is significant for us in remembering the power of faith, the importance of recognizing the divine in everything. And again, that's our first principle, right? That we recognize the divine is in everyone and in everything, in all situations, always good, always present. Now, I like this picture of Peter because... he looks a little sketchy in this picture. Like, I think this is when he's going, I don't know who that guy is. I don't know who that guy is. Frequently, the disciple that is aligned with any given spiritual power is the one who struggled to express that power. And in fact, one of my teachers at Unity Village used to call them the disciples because so much of the time they didn't understand what Jesus was trying to tell them. So Peter had a couple epic failures. From the book of Matthew, do you remember there was a time when the disciples were out in a boat and they saw Jesus walking on the water? Yes. And Peter said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came to Jesus. But then Peter noticed the strong wind. He became frightened, and he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, in unity with the powers, we don't believe that someone has more faith than another person, or, gosh, I just need to have more faith. We believe everyone has faith. It's just, what do we put our faith in? Are we putting it in the divine? Are we putting it in this idea that I have snakes in my belly? Am I putting it in looking down at the waves and the wind's blowing and, oh, now I'm scared and I'm going to start to sink? We know we always have that choice of where to put our faith, of what to focus on, of what to believe. Here's Peter's other epic failure that Joanne mentioned. Pardon me. From the book of Matthew. Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You are also with Jesus the Galilean." And Peter said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And he went out onto the porch, and another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "Hey, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And Peter said, "I do not know that man." And after a little while, another bystander came up to Peter and said, "Certainly, you are one of his followers, for your accent betrays you." And Peter began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know that man." At that moment, the cock crowed, and then Peter remembered that Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. How many people have ever had an experience like Peter where maybe we haven't always put our faith in the divine? I know I have. Yeah. Sometimes part of our human experience is we're having that Peter experience. We're like, I don't know who that is. I'm looking down at the waves. I'm having more faith in the wind and the waves than I am in the divine. Now, another Unity writer, a reverend named Letty Hammock, identified the 12 powers with 12 women in the Bible. And she lined up the powers with the 12 different women who were either related to Jesus or friends of Jesus. So the woman that she identified as representing faith is Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and the kinswoman, relative, family member of Mary, mother of Jesus. Now here's a story from the Gospel of Luke about Elizabeth. We know that Elizabeth was married to Zacharias, a priest. They were both elderly and good people and had never had children. And an angel appeared and said they would have a child named John. Zacharias was so unbelieving that he was struck, unable to speak because of his lack of believing. But when Elizabeth conceived, she said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." Later in that same chapter of Luke, Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, and Mary is already expecting the baby Jesus. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." A fulfillment. So how many of us have experienced an Elizabeth experience where we have felt very confident about the presence of the divine in something? Me too. Right. Yeah. And we might have both. We might have that Peter experience where we're drowning under the waves, where we're saying, "I don't know who that person is." We might have that Elizabeth experience where we are so confident, "This is the divine working through me. This is the divine working as me." On your handout with the little face on it, there are a couple questions. You are free to share or keep your thoughts to yourself. One idea to reflect on, though, is where is it easy for me to see the presence of the divine? Where is it easy for me to see the presence of the divine? Children is a good example, yes. My cat.
Dog.
All right, Eileen's dog. Music. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Flowers.
Flowers, yeah. When I walk in and see these beautiful Christmas cactuses blooming. Maybe on a sunny day when I can see the mountains. Yeah, being out in nature. Being here. Yes, being here. What about where is it sometimes difficult for me to see the divine? I'll start. If there's someone I'm having conflict with, someone I'm not getting along with, it's not always easy for me to see the divine in them. Sometimes watching the news, yeah. How is the divine present? Where is the divine in this situation? No. Any other times?
In a group.
In a group, can you say more?
Well, you know, everybody's talking and everybody has their own ideas, and sometimes your ideas might not fit along with everybody else in the group, but you're afraid to say anything.
Okay, yeah, so if I'm in a group and I don't feel like I can share my ideas because they don't seem to fit. Thank you. Sometimes if we're having an experience of illness or a struggle or lack, it might be challenging to feel the presence of the divine or to affirm that faith.
When the copier doesn't work.
When the copier doesn't work, yes. When I'm rushed, right? When I have more to do than I think I have time available to do it. When the coffee is gone, oh, life stops.
When my very important tea is gone.
Yeah, when the tea I really like that's important to me is gone. Yeah.
During loss.
During loss, right. When someone I love passes away. Yeah. Yeah. So this can be an opportunity for us to double down on the idea of faith. When we are in that place of scarcity, when we're in that place of lack or loss, or the copier not working, or the person that I don't want to have to deal with, that can be a place for us to affirm in prayer and meditation, I know the power of faith is active right now. I know the power of faith is expressing as me. I know the power of faith is expressing as this other person. I see the divine in them, and I see it in me. I see it in the copier. I see it in my empty coffee container, my empty tea container. I see that faith right now. That can be a place for us to consciously claim and affirm the presence and the power of the Most High. We do know, like I said, that these divine powers are always ours, and that we always have the opportunity to examine. What am I putting my faith in? Am I putting it in the snakes in my belly? Am I putting it in these divine ideas? And regardless of where we're at, we also know each moment is always a new moment. I kind of love the idea of New Year's resolutions. I usually don't make them, but I just sort of find them fascinating. I know there's some statistics that talk about, with the passage of time after January 1st, the compliance with New Year's resolutions kind of drops down. And one of the things that we're blessed with knowing in Unity is that each moment we can always begin anew. It doesn't matter if 5 minutes ago I was Peter sinking in the waves saying, Lord, save me. I can always start over. I can always change my thoughts. I can always say, I'm going to express divine faith right now. I'm going to see it. I claim it out of this experience. God, I know you're here showing me my good. We can affirm that in each moment. We can always shift to that Elizabeth experience of recognizing the power and the presence of the Most High in everyone and everything. The location in the body for divine faith is the center of the brain. And there's kind of like a gingerbread guy on the back of one of your handouts that shows a little dot where that power is located. I'm going to read from a great book that has a fabulous affirmation related, a fabulous meditation related to the power of faith. And before we do that, I'd love it if we could say our affirmation one more time. So together with me, I am faith. I release any ideas of separation from my source. I am filled with faith. I know the Christ presence in me blesses me in all I do. I am faith. Thank you. There's a great book, some of you may have heard of it or read it. It's called Divine Audacity. It was written by Linda Martella-Witsett, and she recently was the director of Silent Unity, kind of like James Dillett Freeman was back in his time. And this book talks about the 12 powers, and I'm going to go ahead and read her meditation for faith. So I invite you to relax fully into your chair. If it's comfortable for you to close your eyes, go ahead and do that. Calming my breath, I focus attention on the center of my forehead inward. At the site of the pineal gland located between the two hemispheres of my brain. Breathing in and breathing out, attention fixed. I bless this connecting link between the physical and the spiritual. Sensitive to the pulsing of life, the movement of energy, I shine the royal blue light of faith into the center of my brain. The spaces between the hemispheres are brushed blue. I broadcast blue light throughout my brain and down through my body, a healing, streaming, royal blue signifying my consciousness of faith. Faith is my ability to see what cannot be seen humanly. I activate this spiritual power, courageously perceiving a greater truth than my physical senses report. I dare myself to see what cannot be seen by human eyes, but exists as surely as the sun exists behind a cloud. I perceive the bottom line truths about life, that life is irrepressible, eternal, and perfect in every stage and form. I stretch my capacity to see the good that can be in troubling situations. I envision possibilities even in seemingly impossible circumstances. I am devoted to perceiving the good that can be. I am convinced that the nature of unseen good, the animating and harmonizing creative power behind all that I have and experience, is my nature. I am divine. I reach inward to my storehouse of faith to remain faithful during times when my human brain cannot envision the magnificent possibilities of wholeness of life, harmonious love, and wealth beyond measure. I demonstrate conviction by living as love lives, as wholeness lives, as wisdom lives. I audaciously trust in universal goodness, so much so that I rest deeply in the peace of spiritual assurance. And I invite us to step into that moment of rest right now, seeing that blue light in the center of our brains radiating to all parts of our mind, body, and spirit, the power of faith. By my innate power of faith, I live in positive expectancy. I center my attention in joyous anticipation, knowing all is well, truly. I am divine faith in each moment, and so it is.
Thank you, Audrey. That was wonderful.
I liked it. Okay. I love it.
Very good, very good. I love this Unity stuff. Good stuff we're doing. All right. Now it's time for our offering. There are two containers. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one is for our outreach programs. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. Blessing of thanks together found in your program. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly, and so it is. So now, if you'd like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts.
Maddie Kanya.
Maddie. Bill.
Bill Glenn. Mike Boy. Jackson.
Beloved Mother, Father God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Now let's all say the prayer of protection together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. And all is well. Vision and outer space. Amazing. All right, let's form a circle for our peace song. Thank you to everybody who made the service a wonderful service. Audrey, Johnny for filling in. Our leader, I'm sure. This for snacks downstairs. I think we can make a whole circle.
Oh, yeah.
Look at us. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.